This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Mole is a staple of Mexican cuisine, but what's special about this sauce isn't just its flavors, chilies, nuts, fruits, chocolate. It's where those flavors come from.
There are actually two dishes that never leave our menu. It is tacos del trompo, like the tacos al pastor, and the mole, okay? Those two, even though we change our menu twice a year, those two dishes are always present. Why? Because to me, they represent the Mexican cuisine.
That's Angel Jimenez Gutierrez, the co-owner of the Mexican restaurant Malinche in Ellisville. Keeping mole on their menu is a big deal to him. His mother, Maria, is head chef. Her mole requires several different kinds of peppers, along with other undisclosed ingredients prepared very carefully. So what is mole? It can be different things, and its ingredients differ quite broadly. In Spanish, the word simply means sauce.
Mole itself comes from the word moli in Nahuatl, the dialect for the Aztecs. They were very passionate about the toasting and the grinding of different ingredients like chocolates, dry peppers, spices, that they would release aromas and flavors. And that combination, the word was mole.
There's another reason Angel is proud that mole is a staple at Malinche. It's a food he associates with celebrations and family gatherings. It is a taste of home.
I am from Mexico City. I can tell you that the mole that we prepare at Malinche, it is following the traditions of Puebla, Ozumba, all that area. Very close to the Popocatépetl volcano. And when I was a kid, we would go over there, visit, and stay for the weekend over there. It was a lot of fun. Then we would come back, and there would be always a feast. And one of the dishes was mole, because it's just pretty much like the traditional way of having dinner over there. Any special event, like whether it's a quinceañera or a boda, that would be the dish. That would be what they would choose to offer to all their guests. And so mole, to me, it represents that. Always a piece of chicken covered with mole, good rice, and that's all you needed.
That was Angel Jimenez Gutierrez, the co-owner of the Mexican restaurant Malinche in Ellisville. He spoke last week with our producer, Danny Wisentowski. Malinche is by no means the only place in St. Louis serving its own regionally specific take on mole. The restaurant is one of four highlighted by food writer Ileana Martinez. Her exploration of mole in St. Louis was published last month in Sauce Magazine, and she joins us now. Ileana, welcome back to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. I'm excited to be back.
So what is it that made you want to explore mole in the St. Louis area?
Well, I knew that St. Louis had potential for great mole, and when I moved here from Houston, 2 years ago, admittedly, one of the things that my friends teased me about was that I might not be able to find food that was as diverse or as exciting as the offerings in Houston. But now that I've been here for 2.5 years, I can say that I have to disagree, because it's out there. You just have to know where to find it. Mm-hmm. And maybe the density of Mexican restaurants in St. Louis is not necessarily as high for obvious reasons, but the mole is out there. And, mm-hmm. and I had the benefit of researching that.
And was there something in particular about having mole at restaurants that sort of it interested you enough to want to do a whole treatment of it?
Yes. One of the funny things about this is that the first time that I ever tried mole was actually because I was mole that I made at home.
Oh.
It wasn't at a restaurant. And so I knew that by going out to explore mole at different restaurants, I could explore the breadth of it and the regionality of it. And fortunately enough, there were restaurants across St. Louis that allowed me to explore mole from the perspective of different states in Mexico, which I probably wouldn't have had the time to figure out if I was just cooking at home.
Mm-hmm, right. I'd like to invite you to the conversation. Do you have a favorite mole recipe, and what's your favorite way to enjoy it? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can also email us at talk@stlpr.org. Now, Ileana, we heard Angel describe mole as a combination of flavors and ingredients. So is there a generally agreed upon definition of what mole is?
I think the only definition that people can really agree upon is what you alluded to earlier, which is that it's a sauce. Mm-hmm. It's a blend. I just have an endearing story that might illustrate that better. My partner's grandmother, who is Mexican, was enjoying a Japanese curry one time and commented on how delicious of a mole it was.
Okay.
So that illustrates what a catch-all the term is.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that is a bit of a... It's an interesting example of how what we are familiar with can maybe set us up to enjoy other things. Now, one of the places that you went to, in addition to Malinche, is Mi Tierra Bonita Mexican Restaurant. And that is a restaurant that is located in Fairmont City. Is that right?
Yep.
Now, the last time you were on the show was this winter, Ileana, and you talked with us about belly-warming soup. And as it happens, the mole you had at Mi Tierra Bonita in Fairmont City in Illinois, that is, has a connection to that last conversation, right?
Right. It wouldn't be an article that I wrote if it didn't mention soup somehow.
Okay.
So it did stand out from the rest, but... I took the liberty of calling it a mole because that was in the title on the mm-hmm. menu.
So tell us about the mole de olla that you had.
Yes, it was a stew, like you said, with chunks of beef cooked over a long period of time with other vegetables. And the reason I would consider it a mole is because one of the components is a sauce blend that then gets poured into the stew as it's cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like I said, it was slow cooked, so very rich in beefy flavor, very tender beef. And I miss it every day. It was a really great stew.
And what did you eat it with? Stews are often eaten in accompaniment with something else.
Yes.
What is the thing that you enjoyed alongside it?
I thought they did the rice really well that the stew came with, and they always serve it with a side of warm tortillas. So mm-hmm. those are great to dip into the stew as you're eating.
And they're made there, right?
Yes.
Yes. Now, the other one of the other restaurants that you went to was La Oaxaqueña. Now, the first time I had mole was at Guelaguetza, which is an Oaxacan restaurant that is in Los Angeles, and I was in my mid-20s, was love at first bite. And the mole negro is what you wrote about this restaurant that is in South St. Louis County. What made that dish at that restaurant such a standout for you?
I had to include mole oaxaqueño in this piece because I think it's just quintessential textbook mole. People who may or may not know a lot about mole, if you have any mental image of mole in your head, it usually is the mole oaxaqueño. It's just this
right.
very dark, velvety sauce enveloping the chicken. And it's classic for a reason. It's delicious. It's very complex. And it's what makes Oaxaca famous for being the gastronomical capital of Mexico that it is. So mm-hmm. it deserved a place in the article.
Did someone tip you off about this restaurant?
I had it on my list for a while. Sauce Magazine had written about it previously.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were excited about it when it opened because of how regional it is. And so when I set out to write an article all about mole, I knew, you know, this is finally my chance where I can go and check it out.
Mm-hmm. So chocolate is one of the components
yes.
of mole negro. That's actually what my spouse does not like mole. I love it, but I'm not a sweets person. Can you talk about the role that chocolate plays in mole that might be kind of unexpected for those who've not tried it?
Yeah, I will say that it can be a bit polarizing because not everybody is used to having something sweet or something traditionally considered a dessert mm-hmm. alongside their chicken.
Right, right.
So I get that. It can take some getting used to, but I personally love the bitterness that it offers. I do like the combination of sweet and savory, so suits my palate, suits the palate of many people who like balancing salty and sweet. And it also just says a lot about where mole comes from, right? Chocolate is endemic to Mesoamerica, and that's why it's such an important ingredient. So aside from how tasty I think the combination is, that's just another reason why it's so emblematic of the country, mm-hmm. Mexico.
So there's another city that is south, South City, opened last year, and that is El Molino del Sureste. I had the pleasure of trying it for the first time just last month. Now, a dish that you wrote was the undisputed star of the menu at El Molino del Sureste is the relleno negro with chilmole, and that is a Yucatan black mole. What about this was worth writing home about and also writing about in the magazine?
This one really defied my expectations of what mole was. Again, what I loved about this research here was just how much I got to learn about mole through writing. And the chilmole was something that I didn't expect at all. Knowing what I know about how rich mole can usually be, how just some of the typical ingredients that go in, like the chocolate, like you said, like different carbs and spices. This one had vinegar, which I had never heard could qualify as an ingredient for mole, but it did there. Mm-hmm. And it was very much welcomed because it's accompanied by pork, ground pork that is wrapped around hard-boiled eggs. And so having that vinegar to cut through the richness of the pork and everything else in the dish created a really well-balanced experience. Even the texture of the mole was different than all the other ones. It was more glossy, and I think it just comes to show how mole can really mean whatever you want it to mean.
Right. And relleno it's stuffed pepper, right? Or stuffed chili?
It can mean that. Mm-hmm. For this specific dish, this is, again, something that I had to ask the owners about and do research on myself. But it refers to specifically the sort of Scotch egg type of pork.
That treatment.
Yes.
Right, right. So if we go back to sort of where we started, was with Malinche, Mexican culinary experience in Ellisville, that's West County, West St. Louis County. Your piece spoke to the three types of mole that are served there, mole poblano, mole almendrado, and mole verde, right? So mole poblano and mole negro are similar. What is it that makes mole poblano different from the moles people sort of think of, as you said, as a classic mole?
The mole poblano compared to the mole oaxaqueño is a little bit more tart, a bit fruitier in its notes, just a bit more fiery. And that's just due to the different ratios of the peppers that go in. So the mole oaxaqueño leans more into the chocolate and some of the thickeners that go in, like corn tortilla. But when you look at the mole poblano, I really enjoyed it because it felt more like I was eating fruity notes. There was a lot more brightness to it, and it's a bit lighter of a sauce too.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about mole, which is a staple of Mexican cuisine, with food writer Ileana Martinez. Ileana's exploration of mole in St. Louis was published last month in Sauce magazine. Another one of the moles that you wrote about was an orange-hued mole, and that's the one with almonds, which is mole almendrado. Was that your first experience of that almond-based mole, or have you had it before?
No, I'd never heard of it. Mm-hmm. It was It was a learning experience for me, just like it was for everybody else reading the article. I was really delighted to see not just an unfamiliar color in mole, but also an unfamiliar flavor. And even what it was accompanied with, this one was served with pork, whereas mm-hmm. I'm used to it being served with chicken.
Chicken, right.
It was, a pleasant surprise for me. And also just speaks to Angel and how much he loves to teach people through the food at his restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did you find that at all four of the restaurants, that there was someone there to kind of explain to you what you were eating? Or was some of it just conversations that you had with the restaurateurs after you'd finished devouring what was on your plate?
I usually try to time my visits around when they're a little less busy, just so I can actually pull them aside and ask them questions about what I'm eating.
Mm-hmm.
And and that happened at most of the places I went to. When I was at El Molino, it was pretty busy that night, even though I went early. But it is a popular restaurant right now, and it just recently opened, so a lot of people are going to check it out.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned earlier, Ileana, that you've now been here in St. Louis for a couple years, and you moved here from Houston, which has a very different demographic sort of landscape, right? Does it feel like you're still learning a lot about the city's food scene?
Yes. If you looked at my Google Maps at all the places I have saved, it's a list I'll probably never be able to get through. But
mm-hmm.
yes, I love learning about the city of St. Louis through its food and visiting the different neighborhoods in the process.
Mm-hmm. But you have a special place in your heart and tummy for Mexican food, right? Why is that the case?
Which one?
in terms of the Mexican fare, not just here, but anywhere. What is your relationship with Mexican food, and why is it something that that you hold sort of especially dear?
I hold Mexican food dear to my heart because my fiance and his family are all from northern Mexico. They're from the state of Tamaulipas along the U.S.-Mexico border. So if I just relied on what I knew from home cooking to understand Mexican cuisine, it would be a lot of, grilled meats and flour tortillas and some of the dishes that are common to that region of, southern Texas, northern Mexico. But
mm-hmm.
through writing this article, it just opens up a whole other world of what Mexican gastronomy can be. And it just shows how every state has its own distinct culture and flair, and that's also
mm-hmm.
reflected in the cuisine.
And is this something that you feel like you have been seeing more of, even in the last couple of years? I mean, we did talk about El Molino del Sureste opening in the last year or so, but have you observed that already, that there is an increase in the offerings and the range of Mexican food people can enjoy?
Yes, I think so. I think that, just culturally, more and more people are becoming interested in learning about food stories and specific niches in different cuisines. So I see a cultural shift in that more broadly and also in St. Louis. Something that I've noticed as I've lived here is that a lot of the Mexican community in St. Louis is from one state in Mexico, Michoacán, which I've always found interesting how they all kind of just ended up here.
Uh-huh.
But to your point, there's still more and more variety that we're starting to see as well.
Mm-hmm. And as we finish up here, the mole recipes that you have written about, they have a place in family traditions, and the ingredients even rise to the level of family secrets. How could you tell at each of the places that you went to that mole has a special meaning in these families? So if, for instance, at La Oaxaqueña, is that something that you could tell that this is something that is really cherished in a particular way?
Yes, the family was definitely a through line in all of the restaurants that I visited. Whether it was from a picture hung up on the wall or a recipe that was inspired by a family member, What I really enjoyed learning about, aside from the food itself, was its connection to the family. And I think that speaks a lot about Mexican family culture in general, how you heard Angel talking about how it was a method of celebrating, right? It was a tradition in his family vacations to sit down around a plate of mole. So I think that's really special about all of the restaurants that I went to, regardless of whether it was more laid-back type of ambiance or a bit more high-end. What they all had in common was that they were honoring their families.
Mm-hmm. And it could be enjoyed anytime.
Yes.
Ileana Martinez is a food writer for Sauce Magazine. You can find a link to her piece about mole at our website. That's stlonair.show. Ileana, thank you again for talking with us today.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.